Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. It's July 1st, folks. We're already into July. Imagine that. Summer's just halfway in. Anyways, folks, this morning's message is when God touches the heart, it convicts. We have quite a few verses, chapters and verses to go through. So if you put your finger on Psalms 45:5, that's where we're going to start. And then Hebrews 6:12, Matthew 6:25, Philippians 1:5-6, Romans 1:6-9, and Romans 11:27-32. Now, you may not have to turn to those, but I'll at least use most of those, if not all of them, during the message this morning. We have some prayer requests that I want to get to, but as always, so that everybody has a chance to get here this morning, because sometimes they run a little bit late and get here a few seconds later. We're going to play a song, as always. It's by the Gaither Band and the Oak Ridge Boys. He Touched Me. It's a little more than 2 minutes, but I'm going to cut it short at 2, folks. Coming out. Thank you for listening. As I said, folks, we have some prayer requests, and I have some things that I want to go over with you, get the message out. But if you would, please, like I said, please turn to Psalms 45:5. That's where we're going to start out. And we're going to go to Hebrews right after that. And we're going to go to Hebrews, I believe it's 6. Did I say 6? Let me see. Yes, Hebrews 6:12. So we want to make sure we get our finger there. And as we're doing that, or as you're doing that, I'm going to get ready to go into the prayer request. We don't have many this morning, folks. There's not as many today as there has been in the past. A lot of people traveling for vacation, so let's pray for the families that are traveling. Pray for those that are suffering today, because we have many that we've talked about over the week that are suffering through much pain. Because of cancer, or because of, like, my friend Joseph. Joseph has got cancer. He's got a problem with his hip. He's a vet, and they're not taking care of him properly. So we need to pray for Joseph. Pray for Christy. Christy's a friend of a friend of mine, Lori Martin. Lori Martin Kish. She asked me to pray for Christy. Christy's had some problems where she's backslidden. Has walked away from the Lord, knows that she needs to come back. You know, folks, we may think that we're actually walking away from the Lord. All it is that we turn our back on him, We're not really ever going to be able to walk away from the Lord, because once we're saved, we're always saved. We're always in his hand. The devil just fools us and confuses us, and I believe that's what's probably happened with Christy. I don't know the whole story, and it doesn't matter to me. I just know that myself, I've backslidden enough times to know that the Lord has never left me nor forsaken me. He's always been there. He'll always be there. And that's part of the reason, like the message this morning, although it had nothing to do with Christy, but boy, I'll tell you, when the Lord wants something to work out right, he puts certain things on the pathway here that'll tell you this is why I had you choose that message. You see, because God does not leave us, even when we try to walk away from him. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, once we become saved, that's it. There's no turning back. He's ours. We're his. We just happen to go out and live in the world and wallow in our mess. As it says in the Bible, you know, a dog returns to its vomit, or a pig, no matter how much you wash a pig, they'll wallow right back in their slop. Now, I'm not picking on no one. I'm not bad-mouthing Christy. I've been there. I know exactly what it's like. So please don't take it that way. Just pray for Christy. I know what it's like. She's going through a tough time. Trust me. And there's another one. Cammy Coach asked me for her granddaughter who's in the hospital. I didn't quite get the message. Cammy told me that she had tagged me in it, and I looked for it on Facebook, and I didn't find it. But please pray for Cammy's granddaughter, that she'll be healed and that things will go well and that she won't have to worry about it. Just pray that the little one is going to be okay. Mary Capra Fulton asked for prayer. This will be the second week that I'm asking again for the same prayer, because I believe that the devil's beating us down, folks. I believe the devil's trying to trip up all God's children. Now, he's trying to hurt us. He's trying to make us look to things that are sinful, and he's causing disharmony in our lives, whether it be through family members or whether it's ourselves. The devil knows his time is limited, so he's attacking all those that he can, and he's taking on the Christians because, see, he don't have to pick on the ones that don't believe. He doesn't have to go after and cause disharmony in the lives of those that don't read the Bible. The devil only attacks those that share the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, and do their best to follow the Lord. The devil knows that that individual is going to be the toughest one to win back to his side. So he's doing all he can to attack you. And lastly, folks, for Lovis Noyes, she's a good friend of mine on Facebook, and she's asked for Robbie Locke, her pastor, who was fighting a staph infection in his finger and had antibiotics twice a day for weeks at the hospital. I'm hoping that that staph infection has cleared up and that things are better. I haven't heard back, so I don't know. But please continue to pray for Robbie Locke having that problem with his finger. Father, thank you for letting us share the gospel, be able to put the gospel out there for others to hear. Thank you for those for trusting in us to pray for them. Thank you for being so loving and kind that you send people our way so that we know that you're real. That's why we're able to share the gospel, and I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for all you give us and for all you do for us, especially for your word, the Bible. Bless us with a good day and a good message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Folks, as I was trying to say earlier, there is a bit of the enemy trying to attack Christians. And that's why this message, if you listen to it, I hope it'll do for you what it should. I hope the Lord can get to prick your heart and wake you up for certain things. My topic of that is this. When God touches the heart, it convicts. When the devil touches it, there's no conviction. Absolutely no conviction whatsoever. Because, see, the devil draws us in and entices us to think those things are okay and acceptable in the sins that we would commit or do commit, or the desires of our heart if they're not the same desires of the will of God. That's why it's important to read your Bible. It's important to know scriptures. Let's take a good look here at Psalms 45:5. And this is what it says. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Father, I thank you for that little pad of information, because without it, Father, it wouldn't have started off this message the way it has. These arrows, folks, that I'm talking about are the arrows of God, who strikes the heart of the king, who strikes the heart of the enemy, And God says, listen, it should hurt you. It should strike your heart, and you should fall down. You should fall down on your knees and pray that God would take away those sins that you're desiring, or the actions that you've already done that should prick your heart enough to wake you up to say to you, I need to get back on track. I need to start learning more about the Bible. I need to serve my God. And then, and in that one little statement right there, serve my God, there's more in the scriptures that I'll read to you. Who is your God? Remember that. I said to somebody this past week, as long as we have God's word, not man's word, not my words, God's word. You look at your Bible, you read it, you'll find that God speaks to you. He convicts your heart of sins by using the Bible and the words within the Bible to get you back on track to do the right thing. There's a story in the Bible called the prodigal son. Many of you know that. That young man decided he didn't want to live under his father's roof no more. He didn't want to do those things. He wanted his inheritance. He was going to go out and enjoy his life. He said, I don't need to be told what to do by you anymore. I'm going out to live alone. And I'm paraphrasing here and making a mockery of it to some bit. But the point is this, folks. That boy took off and did his own thing, and guess what he did? He went astray. He ended up doing things that he never thought he would do, committing sins that he never thought he would commit, and before you knew it, he ran out of money, had nowhere to live. He was staying in somebody's barn, and in that barn, there was nothing but slop, animal slop. It wasn't a very good place or a pretty place to live. And then he started thinking, I want to go home to be with my dad. There's got to be a way I can get back in. So he went back home in his torn and tattered clothes, rags that he was wearing. And his father did accept him back. And I'll tell you what, that's our God. We may think that we walk away. We may think that it's no big deal. God, he will prick our heart and let us know this is not where you belong. You need to come back. You need to come back to my loving arms. And let me protect you and guide you and strengthen you and give you all the desires that I have for you and take away all those of the world, all those that Satan tries to convince us of. You see, our desires of our heart should meet those desires of God's word, not the desires of this world. This world loves to pollute us with the wants and desires. Again, like I said, Psalm 45 says, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. You know, kings were looked upon as those that knew the scriptures and led us to righteousness and did not lead us astray. That's what a real king does. Today's world, we don't have those kinds of kings. And then it says, wherefore by the people fall under thee, meaning they fall under the king. Now, if you will with me, go over to Hebrews. Let's see if I can find my spot over there again. Chapter 6, and it's verse 12. 6 verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He wants us to be on the right track, following those that have the inheritance of God. God provides so much for us. I heard a gentleman say this past week, God don't pay my bills. I got news for you, brother. If God don't pay your bills and Satan's paying your bills, how come you're still doing okay? Because Satan don't want to pay nothing for you. He wants to use you, abuse you, and then he wants you to suffer and go without. And we desire that every one of you, this is verse 11, you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's what we desire of you as Christians, the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope that you'll come to heaven, the hope that you'll come around and that you'll understand that you need to be saved, that you need to be washed in the blood. And yes, you do need to be baptized. Baptism is an outward expression of your faith to the followers, that you will start doing the right things. And once you get saved, you start looking at the things that you do, and you know that they're wrong. I won't go into it, But I know for myself, every time I've done something wrong that I wasn't supposed to be doing, after I got saved, I was convicted. God convicts the heart. He tells us, you cannot live this way. You've got to get on the right path. The desires that I have in my flesh are selfish, inconsiderate, hurtful, and painful thoughts. They're not of God. They're of the devil. The devil loves to inflict pain. God loves to convict your heart so that you know to do right. Now, I can go down a list of other things, folks, and I want to. In Matthew 6:25, we're going to go there. Matthew 6:25. Like I said, you don't necessarily have to follow along with me scripture for scripture, but I beg of you, if you don't, please write them down so that you'll go look at them later so the Holy Spirit can touch your heart when the time comes. Matthew 6:25 says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Now you think about this, and when it says raiment, it means clothing. It says here, take no thought for your life. Some have said to me, oh, so you just think God's just going to give you everything. You just don't worry about it. God will provide. Well, to be honest with you, folks, I'm not kidding. If God is all-powerful, God's all-knowing, he knows every hair on my head. He knows my needs before I was born. He knows who I was before I was born. He knows who I'm going to become in life before I die. He's going to provide me everything from the day I was born to the day I die anyways. Why would I be worried and concerned about it and start getting caught up in the world of how I'm going to make money and pay for everything and how I'm going to gain this or gain that because I think I need it? Take no thought, he says. Now let's look over at Philippians 1:5-6. I'll find my place there as soon as I can, folks. I'm flipping pages here. Philippians 4-6. It'll take me a second, but I'll get there. Let me explain something to you, too. Over in Hebrews 4:12, that was another one that I wanted to share with you. I'm going to go back to my notes for a second. Let's go back to my notes. Your choice is conviction. Serve the Lord by changing the way you live, turn from your sinful thoughts, desires in your life, or continue and be the enemy of God. You can continue on the way you are, and you'll be the enemy of God. You'll be serving yourself. You'll be working for Satan. He'll not do anything for you. He's going to convict you of only one thing, and that's the day that you decide to do something right. He's going to be like, what are you doing that for? This is what you want to do. He's going to make you run around, hang out with the wrong people, and do the wrong things. Those are in my notes. Now, in 45:1-7 of Psalms, which I said I did 45:5, but I'm gonna go back there. I'm hoping I can get through most of this. It's tough sometimes, folks, because I want to give you as much as I can so I can fill you up. In verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. That's because you're saved. Grace is poured unto the lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. In other words, protect yourself, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of the truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach the terrible things. Your right hand, meaning reading the word of God, this should be your right hand. It'll teach you the terrible things. Then it says, thine arrows are sharp. Verse 6, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of the kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The oil of God will do exactly that. It'll fill you up and it'll protect you and it'll keep you. In Hebrews 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's 4:12. I had 6:12, but you look at this. The two-edged sword can be interpreted as an arrow or a sword. But the meaning here is the cutting of flesh and the spirit, or the dividing of flesh and spirit. We need to be having our spirit and our flesh divided, folks. I need to correct that later in my notes, that it's not 6:12, it's 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Because when you share the gospel with people, you see how they'll turn from you and walk away. Unless they're a Christian, they're not going to sit and listen to you because they don't have the right spirit. They're still living within in their own flesh. We know that to serve the flesh is to serve sin. And to serve the spirit, if you're a Christian, you choose to serve the Lord in righteousness, not wickedness, and therefore serve Satan or flesh. You have a choice, folks. That God has given us all free will. You will not serve two masters. I'm telling you, folks, you cannot serve the devil and you cannot serve God all at the same time. Oh, you may do the right thing and you may go about making people believe you're a Christian, but if you're serving sin and living in sin, it's going to come out eventually. And the master you serve, the one that you give the most, he's the one that's going to rule your soul. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, it says in Matthew 6:24. Philippians 1:5-6 says this, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, verse 5, being confident on this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, here's the conviction, folks, and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Way back when I first started thinking I wasn't going to be a Christian, way back when I first started asking that one question, if there is a God, God was convicting my heart and turning me towards him every bit of my life. Even though I did wrong, he kept saying, nope, that's not the way. And I lived with that guilt. I lived with the guilt when I was a violent person doing bad things, being an alcoholic, being a drug addict, doing all the other stuff the world does, being living in a promiscuous. The Lord convicts your heart and he gets you right back on track, but only if you're willing. You have to go, I'm not going to serve Satan. I'm not going to serve my flesh. I am not going to be that sinner I used to be. I want to be a good Christian. I want to live right, righteously, doing as God asked me to, because then I can have the blessings, the inheritance that he offers me. We are not just believers. We are saints of the living word as believers in Christ. You see, folks, as believers in Christ Jesus, we are saints. What are the saints? You hear of St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Mary, St. this, St. that, right? But nobody ever talks about God made us saints as believers. We're not just believers. We're the saints. Romans 1:6-9 says this. I want to read this before the scriptures, right? I posted this and I said, look, Paul addresses a letter to all the Christians in Rome as saints. That letter in Romans 1 was addressed to all Christians, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles also, because Gentiles are saints. Yes, they are. But because they were given redemptive faith of Abraham, but the Jews are the specially designated saints. And when I say that, because Jesus said that the Jews, and if you look at it, I'm going to go through this real quick. If you look at the scriptures, it says, we were grafted in, among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, believed of God, this is verse 7 of 1, chapter 1, Romans, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Paul addresses a letter to the Christians in Rome as saints in chapter 1, verse 7 of Romans, because Gentiles who as wild olive branches have been grafted into the stem of Judaism now share the full relationship to that plant and are all saints. You see, there was a time when we couldn't go to share with Jesus. We couldn't go and expect to have our prayers heard without going to someone else and having paying penance and going to a special temple. But Jesus tore that cloth, that curtain in front of the temple and said, all can come in. All can be Christians. All can be Jews. All can be saints. Now, we may not be Jews as in the nationality. We may not be Jews as the saints of old, but we are Jews as one with Jesus Christ. We are the people spoken of in Romans 11, where God shows mercy because of our sins and unbelief. For this is my covenant unto them, he says in 27 of Romans 11, when I shall take away their sins. We get our sins taken away when we ask for salvation. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through your unbelief. You see that, folks? Listen to that verse. For as in ye in times past, you didn't believe God, yet have now obtained mercy through your unbelief. At one point, sent Jesus down to save all of us. Even though we were non-believers, all we had to do is accept Jesus Christ as the Savior. And therein starts our whole process of being pricked in the heart, being woken up and being convicted. And God starts to work in our heart and says, listen, if you believe in my Son, you believe in me. If you believe in my Son, you're saved. Once saved, always saved. There's no dropping you from that. God put you in his hand. He'll never turn his hand upside down, drop you out. For as ye in times past have not believed God. And then verse 31 says, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Whose mercy are we talking about? We're talking about the mercy of God. Even though you don't believe, the mercy of God could save you. And it will save you. All you do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it tells you that right here in Scriptures. For God hath concluded that all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. You see, that's why we don't get punished from day to day. He has mercy on us. He lets us slide. When we backslide, he says, that's okay, child. You want to run away from home. You want to go away. You want to wallow in the slop. You want to end up in the barn in your filthy, dirty clothes. Fine. But I'll convict your heart and I'll bring you around. I have mercy on you. God has mercy on those that don't believe as much as he has mercy on the ones that do believe. Jesus came to save not the sick and the ill, but to save the lost. The lost are the ones that go about not believing because they're lost. They don't know anything. In fact, if you get around people that are non-believers and they're having bad times, you see them, they almost walk in circles. They're pulling their hair out. They're saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't take it anymore. What am I going to do? Blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, God says, have faith in me and leave it alone. In fact, what I said to you was that God said he will provide for you and he will care for you and he will take care of you. He'll have mercy on you. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing in Philippians, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means he'll continue to convict your heart, as I said. When the word of God touches your heart, as soon as it starts to work in you, he never lets go of you. He'll always provide for you. Thank you for hearing the message this morning. I hope that I've made some sense to you. I have but 1 minute left, and I want to get my last song in. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Please come over and find me on Facebook at William Preacher Bill Barnes, and we can share over there any comments or any questions. The last song is Take My Hand, Precious Lord, Jim Reeves. Thank you for being here, and God bless.
Precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord.
God bless you. Have a good day.